Wally was holding his hands very steady. They were like rocks. The left was aimed a little ahead of the Cadillac's front tire. The right was aimed directly at my head. His fingers were tight on the triggers. The muzzles weren't moving at all, not even a fraction. He was like a statue. I did all the usual things. I ran all the numbers. The Cadillac was a big car with long doors, but he had put himself just far enough away that I couldn't jerk my door open and hit him with it. And the car was stationary. If I hit the gas, he would fire both guns instantly. The bullet from the one in his right hand might well pass behind my head, but the car's front tire would roll straight into the path of the one from his left. Then I would hit the gates hard and lose momentum, and with a blown front tire and maybe with damaged steering, I would be a sitting duck. He would fire 10 more times, and even if I wasn't killed outright, I would be badly wounded and the car would be crippled. He could just step over and watch me bleed while he reloaded. I could sneak it into reverse and howl away backward, but reverse gear is pretty low on most cars, and therefore I would be moving slowly. And I would be moving directly away from him in a perfectly straight line. No lateral displacement. None of the usual benefits of a moving target. And a Remington 44 Magnum leaves a gun barrel at more than 800 miles an hour. No easy way to outrun one. I could try my Beretta. It would have to be a very fast snapshot through the window glass, but the window glass on a Cadillac is pretty thick. They make it that way to keep the interior quiet. Even if I got the gun out and fired before he did, it would be pure chance if I hit him. The glass would shatter, for sure, but unless I took all the time I needed to make absolutely certain the trajectory was exactly perpendicular to the window, the bullet would deflect, perhaps radically. It could miss him altogether, and even if it hit him, it would be pure chance if it hurt him. I remembered kicking him in the kidney. Unless I happened to hit him in the eye or straight through the heart, he would think he had been stung by a bee. I could buzz the window down, but it was very slow, and I could predict exactly what would happen. He would straighten his arm while the glass was moving and bring the right-hand Colt within 3 feet of my head. Even if I got the Beretta out real fast, he would still have a hell of a jump on me. The odds were not good. Not good at all. "Stay alive," Leon Garber used to say. "Stay alive and see what the next minute brings." Paulie dictated the next minute. "Put it in park," he yelled. I heard him clearly, even through the thick glass. I moved the gear shift into park. "Right hand where I can see it." I put my right palm up against the window, fingers extended, just like when I signaled, "I see five people," to Duke.
"Open the door with your left."
I scrabbled blindly with my left hand and pulled the door release, pushed on the glass with my right. The door swung open. Cold air came in. I felt it around my knees.
"Both hands where I can see them," he said.
He spoke quieter. Now the glass wasn't between us. He brought the left-hand Colt around on me. Now the car was out of gear. I looked at the twin muzzles. It was like sitting on the foredeck of a battleship looking up at a pair of naval guns. I put both hands where he could see them.
"Feet out of the car."
I swiveled on my butt, slowly on the leather, got my feet out onto the blacktop. I felt like Terry Villanueva outside the college gate, early in the morning of day 11.
"Stand up. Step away from the car."
I levered myself upright, stepped away from the car. He pointed both guns directly at my chest. He was 4 feet away from me.
"Stand very still."
I stood very still.
"Richard!"
Richard Beck came out of the gatehouse door. He was pale. I saw Elizabeth Beck behind him in the shadows. Her blouse was open at the front. She was clutching it tight around herself. Paulie grinned at me, a sudden lunatic grin. But the guns didn't waver, not even a fraction. They stayed rock steady.
"You came back a little too soon. I was about to make him have sex with his mother."
"Are you out of your mind?" I said. "What the hell is going on?"
"I got a call. That's what's going on."
I should have been back an hour and 20 minutes ago, I thought. "Beck called you?"
"Not Beck. My boss."
"Xavier?"
"Mr. Xavier."
He stared at me like a challenge. The guns didn't move. "I went shopping," I said. "Stay alive. See what the next minute brings."
"I don't care what you did."
"I couldn't find what I wanted. That's why I'm late."
We expected you to be late. Why? We got new information.
I said nothing to that.
Walk backward, through the gate.
He kept both guns 4 feet from my chest and walked forward while I walked backward through the gate. He matched me pace for pace. I stopped 20 feet inside in the middle of the driveway. He stepped to one side and half-turned so he could cover me on his left and Richard and Elizabeth on his right.
Richard! Close the gate!
He kept the left-hand Colt aimed at me and swung the right-hand Colt toward Richard. Richard saw it coming around at him and stepped up and grabbed the gate and pushed it shut. It clanged into place, loud and metallic.
Chain it!
Richard fumbled with the chain. I heard it ringing and rattling against the iron. I heard the Cadillac idling quietly and obediently 40 feet away on the wrong side of the gate. I heard the waves pounding on the shore behind me, slow and regular and distant. I saw Elizabeth Beck in the gatehouse doorway. She was 10 feet away from the big machine gun hanging on its chain. It had no safety catch, but Pauly was in the blind spot. The back window couldn't see him.
Lock it!
Richard snapped the padlock shut.
Now you and your mom go stand behind Reacher.
They met near the gatehouse door, walked toward me, passed right by me. They were both white and trembling. Richard's hair was blowing. I saw his scar. Elizabeth had her arms crossed tight against her chest. I heard them both stop behind me, heard their shoes on the blacktop as they shuffled around to face my back. Pauly stepped over to the center of the driveway. He was 10 feet away. Both barrels were aimed at my chest, one to the left side, one to the right. Jacketed 44 magnums would go straight through me, and probably straight through Richard and Elizabeth, too. They might make it all the way to the house. Might break a couple of first-floor windows.
Now Reacher holds his arms out by his sides.
I held them out, away from my body, stiff and straight, angled down.
Now Richard takes Reacher's coat off. He pulls it down from the collar.
I felt Richard's hands on my neck. They were cold. They grasped my collar and peeled the coat down. It slid off my shoulders and came down my arms. It pulled past one wrist, then past the other.
Ball it up!
I heard Richard balling it up.
Bring it here.
Richard came out from behind me carrying the bald coat. He got within 5 feet of Pauly and stopped.
Throw it over the gate. Real far.
Richard threw it over the gate. Real far. The arms flapped in the air and it sailed up and then down, and I heard the dull, padded thump of the Beretta in the pocket landing hard on the Cadillac's hood.